We are 1 week away from the first round of the NFL draft. What are the chances that the Texans trade Jadeveon Clowney in a week?
I am torn because I've spoken to two different plugged-in people over the last couple months, and one swears, this is why, just never trust anybody. One swears that the Texans are kind of lukewarm on Jadeveon Clowney. One swears they're absolutely in love with Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
So I don't think they're out there courting trade offers, but I don't think that they're giving him the stiff arm either, if any of them show up. I guess the question would be, at what point does anybody, like, come closer to the draft, do you think anybody's out there? Is somebody going to throw some picks at the Texans, seeing if they get a bite on Jadeveon Clowney?
I think they might. If they trade Clowney, it would only be next week. I don't think it could happen after the draft,
yeah,
because I don't think they're going to be willing to make that sacrifice for how important this season
something
is.
Something off into the future, right?
Yes.
They're not going to trade Clowney, who I think is going to show up and play this year.
Agreed.
For a future draft pick, where they might trade him for a pick in this year.
I would be surprised if they traded Clowney, but I wouldn't be shocked. And if they traded him again, it would be next week. It would be next Thursday. That's when the trade would go down, because this season's important. And if they traded him Thursday, that means they would get a first-round pick for him, and they can convert that into some kind of player who could help them this season.
Yeah.
But if you go beyond Thursday and Friday, they're not trading him this offseason, because then you're waiting for a 2020 pick, and all of a sudden we're sitting here thinking, like, well, what are we expecting for 2019 in what is a big year for the team? Here's why I bring this topic up. Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com did a mock draft yesterday with all trades, and he had the Texans trading Clowney to the Raiders for their number 24 overall pick and a fifth-round pick.
For the number 24 overall pick?
Yeah, because remember, the Raiders...
And a fifth-round pick? Okay, yes. So they just swapped back one spot. So the
no,
Raiders...
No.
Wait.
They didn't swap anything. They just traded Clowney to the Raiders.
Oh, okay. So they get an extra first-round pick. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
No, that makes sense.
So he had them trading Clowney to the Raiders for the number 24 pick and a fifth-round pick.
Who did the Texans select with that pick?
Who did they select with that pick? I don't know. He just,
okay.
He didn't actually
just
make
a crazy trade.
Yeah.
Cause that's the biggest question is, like, you get rid of Clowney, then you've got JJ Watt and Whitney Merciless as your pass rushers. And Whitney, I think Whitney's production would go up because he'd be used more like a traditional pass rusher. So you'd feel good about that. I guess the question then becomes, all right, if you make that trade, then you get an offensive tackle and a cornerback in the first round, most likely. Mm-hmm. Would you feel better about the team? There's still a big question mark there with, okay, is that cornerback, if you're taking a cornerback, let's say with that specific pick you're taking a cornerback.
Yep.
It's got to work out. It's got to work out or you're a much worse defense.
Depends on who the cornerback is.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's a guy that can play right away and he's good, then actually I think you're a better defense than you were last year in some respects.
If they traded Clowney and the guys on the board were Greedy Williams and Cody Ford, and you could just say, all right, Greedy Williams, you're starting Cody Ford, you're starting right tackle, then you'd come out of that first round on that Friday morning in 8 days and feel like, hey, this is a big deal they made, and it's going to hurt them defensively, but they've got Whitney, and they plugged in two desperate positions with guys they need.
Somebody asked a question here that's related. I don't think this is feasible. Somebody asked, if you traded Clowney for a high draft pick to draft Oliver, Ed Oliver. Let's say Ed Oliver is slipping, and he's down at like 15 or so, and you want an interior pass rusher. Could you get a 15 overall for Clowney?
That'd be a lot. It'd be a good value. And by value, I mean compared to other guys who were traded for draft picks, like D. Ford got traded for a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Not really a whole lot. It would be good value.
And then you get that interior pass rusher. One of the problems the Texans have right now is that they don't have a genuine interior pass rusher because J.J. rushes from the outside most of the time. I think that's where he's staying. They want to keep him healthy.
Here's what frustrates me about this as we're discussing the possibility on a Thursday of trading Jadeveon Clowney next Thursday for, you know, the 24th pick with the Raiders and a fifth-round pick. Part of the reason why you would make a move like this, trading Clowney for a first-round pick, is that you're worried about Clowney, you're not fully sold on him, you're worried about injuries, and you're going to save a lot of money. Like, if you trade
a bunch of money.
Yes. If you trade Clowney, you draft Ed Oliver, you're saving a lot of money.
And saving $20 million a year.
It might help the balance of your defense. But then I'm going to be thinking to myself, man, you know what I would have loved to have done with this extra cap space? I would have loved to have just signed Trent Brown.
Right.
And so I could have had somebody on the other side of the football and have Ed Oliver and then feel like I've addressed my needs in a better way.
That you could have done it. But you're still going to have that cap space moving forward. I mean, it doesn't help you this year.
Yes.
It helps you re-sign some guys. it doesn't necessarily help you this year. Ed Oliver is going to be a big one. Ed Oliver is going to make or break a defensive line coach somewhere because he's got a few little things at his game that need to be improved, and then he'll be unstoppable. And I don't know why he never figured out how to use his hands better at University of Houston, and it might be just because he was that physically dominant that he didn't really need to. But once he learns how to use his hands, I don't see how he's going to get blocked. It's just, and if he's used in the right scheme, I don't see how he's going to get blocked.
He seems like he could be taken in a lot of different spots. Like he seems like he could be a top 10 guy. I've heard some people say like he won't slip past Buffalo.
I think that's somebody who the closer people get to the draft, you look at some of the skills that he has and how it translates to the NFL. I think he's going to go in the top 12 or 13.
I mean, we were talking about him going into the year as a potential number one overall pick. I mean, what has really changed since that period of time other than the Cougars played a weird season where Major Applewhite was their coach and there was an incident with a jacket?
Well, he wasn't dominant the way he had been early in his career. That's the biggest thing. It was like between injuries and just not being completely dominant, that's what scared people off a little bit, I think. But there's reasons. The way he was used in that scheme is a big part of why he wasn't more statistically dominant. But there is also, his technique needs work. I watch him in these drills, and he's doing these hand drills and everything. It's really good, and it looks like he's got fast hands. But then on the field, he doesn't use his hands at all. It's like one of those things where you might have a 500-pound bench press, but if you're not actually grabbing the jersey of the guy in front of you, it doesn't do you any bit of good. Once he learns to use his hands, it'll be unbelievable. But I don't know why. It's not like he hasn't been coached to use his hands yet. Some guys get like that, though. Some guys, until they get into the NFL, they don't really, the light doesn't turn on for them about why they have to use their hands.
You play defensive line, Seth. Is there something to, maybe a similarity between he and Clowney where this past season he was like, you know what, I should be in the draft. And maybe technique is something that slipped by the wayside?
No, because that's how he's been his whole career. Like, he's never used his hands well. He plays hard. And Clowney, too, because I'm one of the people, I watched every single snap Clowney had in his last year at college. I never thought effort was an issue. I didn't think his production was an issue. I thought teams were getting rid of the ball really quickly and paying a lot of attention to him. So I might be like one of the 1% of people that like actually watched him play his last year instead of just watching what Warren Sapp said after somebody showed him 5 low light clips. He actually played hard. Ned Oliver played hard. He played in a smaller conference where I don't think he had to refine his technique the same way as if he was at Alabama. You look at like Quinnen Williams, who really had to refine his technique. He's got much better technique than Ed Oliver. If Ed Oliver gets that kind of technique, he'll be unstoppable.
Okay. And I wonder, you know, I mean, you played in the Ivy League. He played in the AAC. I imagine there's a point where you get to and you're like, for you, Seth, you were probably like, okay, I'm better than these guys. For Ed Oliver, I imagine there had to have been a point too. Even if he didn't have the dominant season that he had this past season where he maybe got into that mode, like what's actually going to get him better?
Right. Well, you know,
like
I guess the way you're phrasing it sounds like it's a choice or something.
No,
it's
not.
Not
I don't
almost
mean it
just
to be.
Like running against slow people, you're only going to get so fast. So yeah. So like once he starts running against faster people or having to like compete against better offensive linemen week in and week out, then yeah, you get a lot better. The pressure is there. There's things he did in the AAC where if he tried to play that way consistently week to week versus good teams, he'd be getting swallowed up and he'd have to learn really quickly not to play that way.
It's Mad Radio on a Thursday. I want to go back to Clowney real quick because things have been very quiet on the Clowney front, whereas Frank Clark in Seattle, who's another franchise tag guy, there have been a bunch of trade rumors about him and what may happen. And so I just want us to be aware of the possibility that, hey, a week from today, if there's going to be any huge move made with Clowney, 1 week from today would be the day for that move to be made.
And I know earlier this segment, Seth said he's been hearing conflicting things. I'll say in the last couple of weeks, someone who is very connected told me, asked me this question. Like, are you guys talking about the idea of trading Jadeveon Clowney a lot? And I said, well, we talked about the idea of Jadeveon Clowney and the franchise tag. What happens after that?
Yes.
And I don't know what he meant by asking me that question. If that was like a hint, like, hey, man, maybe you should start digging or something like that.
Maybe this is a real possibility.
But I mean, that has been in the back of my mind for a while. Yeah. I just don't want to, you know, overkill with Clowney talk nonstop, you know, because we haven't heard anything.
We've done a lot with it. Yes. No doubt.
It really is one of the frustrating things about like this offseason is that we have no information on him.
I think it's because all of us as a show, we've all heard conflicting things about the way the Texans feel about Clowney.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be honest with the audience, which is like, I don't, We don't know that the deal is that they're just happy with Clowney and that they're going to come to a deal in July, that we've heard conflicting things, that there may not be a long-term relationship here.
And somebody asked, why would you trade a proven for an unknown, talking about trading Clowney for draft pick to draft maybe money. Ed Oliver. Money is a big one. And then there's also unknown with Clowney, because you don't know what that contract's going to be. You don't know where he is and when he's going to sign that long-term deal. So that's another unknown, and there's a huge money difference. Like, if you feel really good about a prospect that's going to cost you $18 million less per year over the next 4 or 5 years, that's a pretty good deal.
Yes.
So that's the biggest difference. And then you can use that money to go out and sign an offensive lineman or whatever you want.